The Casamigos Big Shot of the Night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. And the Rangers lost, the Devils lost, and nobody around here played in the NBA. So tonight I want to give a special Casamigos Big Shot of the Night out to our GOAT. You just heard his voice, the legendary John Sterling. Yes, this one's for John. John Sterling will call the World Series. John Sterling came back for this run, and it ended in a World Series. John did not have to do this. He gave us 36 years. He got to a point earlier in this year where he decided, this is a lot. I love John. I'm through, you know, WFA, and I'm able to get to John and shake John's hand and sit with John and talk to John, and I could just tell he was tired. I could tell that he was ready, and he didn't want to do all the travel, but he's in LA right now, sleeping. Maybe it's 9 o'clock. Who knows? John might be out on the town. But I'm just so happy for John Sterling and for all of us as Yankee fans that this is how he's going to go out. A Yankees-Dodgers World Series where he said, this is everything you want, right? Like, what a storybook ending for his final year. He said, without question, my final year doing baseball on a regular basis. He's not coming back. And I had some people say, hey, you think, you know, if the Yankees win, he'll want it. No, this is it, folks. This is it, folks. John Sterling gets to call the Fall Classic. And we are blessed to have more moments like you just heard. Derek Jeter hits a first ball fastball. I think he meant to say first pitch, whatever. We will get more iconic moments like that coming up this week. If you can't make it to LA, if you can't make it to Yankee Stadium, you can listen to the World Series on the Fan called by John and Susan, and I'm sure John is going to do an amazing job. I can't wait to listen to it. I'll probably be listening to it in the stadium. I'll probably have my headphones in just to hear a little bit of what John does. It makes it that much more special. So, yeah, Casamigos' Big Shot of the Night goes to John Sterling. Good morning, good morning. It is finally Friday. World Series Game 1, Gerrit Cole versus Jack Flaherty. It doesn't even sound real. It doesn't even feel real, but it is. And later on tonight, wherever you are, I'll be at Billy's. If you know like I know, you'll pull up to Billy's and you won't watch it alone. I can't do this alone. I can't go through this stuff alone. I need people around me. I need people to talk through every pitch, every situation, every guy coming out of the bullpen, every guy coming up to bat, man. And this is special. We'll have the watch party at Billy's Friday and Saturday for game 1 and 2. I'll see you there. Let's get back to the phone. Nick is in Marlboro, New Jersey on the Fan. Go for it, Nick.
What's going on, Keith? How are you?
I'm good. Just had to give respect to John calling his 8th Fall Classic. That's my guy.
Oh, yeah. He deserves the utmost respect. But I just wanted to call, give a quick share my experience this past weekend. So I was actually at Game 5 in Cleveland. And the main reason I wanted to share this experience is just before it all potentially gets washed away. This is like the last day to really talk about it. But we went, me and a couple buddies, when we originally took a trip to Pittsburgh for the Steelers-Jets game, big Steelers fan, and we decided last second, oh, it's, you know, Cleveland's only 2 hours away. Let's drive over there. Tickets weren't, you know, terrible as opposed to, you know, Yankee Stadium. So we get out there. We're sitting in right field. And the whole game just kind of had like a stagnant vibe. Even after Giancarlo hit the home run to tie the game, it was still kind of just like, are we going to pull this one out? Like, where's the rest of the offense going to come from? Especially after that first inning, you know, bases loaded, leaving guys on, Gleyber getting thrown out at home. And just the feeling that I felt when Juan Soto hit that home run, at first I didn't think it was going out. We're standing there, surrounded by Guardians fans, which, just side note, Guardians fans are great. Cleveland was awesome. Progressive Field was awesome. And we're just standing there, me and my two other buddies, surrounded by Guardians fans, and we're watching. And I didn't think the ball was going out. And as soon as it went over the fence, I actually have a video of it. I'll DM it to you on Instagram. I don't know if you care to see it, but it's pretty awesome. and I just completely blacked out. And just basically since that Saturday, I've been savoring that memory as much as I could, because I don't know what's going to this, you know, the next week or so is going to have in store. But yeah, just wanted to share that. One of the best top sports moments of my life. I do think that there is a little bit of magic in the air. I felt, you know, my one buddy asked, how do you have that video? Why, you know, what made you record it? And I told him, it's not like I knew he was going to hit the home run. I just felt something that said, take your phone out and record this, because this might be the memory of a lifetime. And I'm hoping that continues.
Send me that. Thanks for the call, Nick. 888-808-1019. Yeah, Theater of the Mind. Nick describing Progressive Field out in Cleveland, Ohio. Smart of you to go from, you know, P-Town and make the trip over to see a postseason game for, you know, much less than it would cost to go to Yankee Stadium. And you saw an all-timer. You saw Juan Soto etch his name in Yankee lore. And there's more of that coming. There's more of that coming, man. It is something in the air. There is a special buzz. I do not fear the Dodgers. I respect the Dodgers. But I think that these Yankees are ready for the comp. All week I've been saying how the Yankees played up against teams above 500 and down against sub-500 teams. I think they're ready to box with these guys. I think they're ready to battle with these guys. I think they want their respect. And yeah, you will remember all of this. I already remember all of this. I'm so happy that, you know, we did these watch parties and WFA and Corona came together and backed me and the idea to like do watch parties from the one we did at American Whiskey for the Royal Series. And then, you know, me going to Billy's and asking my boy Joey to open up the bigger side. And then we did that first one as like a test drive on game four that Friday, and it worked. And then more people showed up Saturday, and now we're ready to rock for Friday and Saturday. It's going to be a spectacle. Like, you will remember all of this. We have social media now that saves everything. You know, I'm getting posts on my Facebook from the 2009 run. You know, I just put a post on my Facebook just going back to college from 2009 where I was like, 3-hour class, I'm beat, but whatever, I'll get through it. Like, Yankees get it done tonight and we'll celebrate. You know, I had a post where, you know, rest in peace to my brother. People were bugging out. I don't even remember what game it was, but my brother had full faith, and my brother left the comment like, you know, I believe the whole time. And I'm like, you know, it's crazy to see, you know, looking back that far. And we, you know, Facebook statuses. Yeah, I said, I love how everybody was negative, how everybody's status was negative prior to now. Yankees, chill. My brother said, mine wasn't. Like, all of these videos, all of these stories, I've been really trying to push out content, obviously to feed the beast, because everybody is looking for Yankees content creators, radio hosts, podcasters, vloggers, YouTubers. Like, my followers are going up, my all of this stuff is trending, but I know that win or lose in 5 years, 10 years, we will look back fondly on this. Even if they do lose the World Series, getting to the World Series, ending that drought where people can't hang that over our heads anymore, where we've got that monkey off our back, like, we will look back fondly on these memories, this experience, all of this. Even with the radio, man, like, I appreciate you guys so much. I appreciate everybody that listens to WFAN, that listens to my show, that calls, because, like, we are living this together. Let's continue. Zig is in Trenton. Zig, you're on the Fan.
What's happening, Keith? I like what you mentioned about Verdugo before, you know, those positive vibes. Didn't even think of that when with the whole Valenzuela thing. I was just thinking about being a kid in the backyard playing wiffle ball, doing the Valenzuela wind up, you know, looking up to the sky. But definitely hope that for Verdugo. But I think the two keys to the series for us are, number one, whenever the Dodgers do that bullpen game, got to get to the bullpen. If we can get to the bullpen during that game, it would mess up their bullpen for the rest of the series. I think that's a key to the series. And then I'll get your opinion on this. I know they haven't announced it yet, but I think Garrett Cole has to pull a CeCe. Got to go 1-4-7. I know they haven't announced anything past game two yet, but I think that's what we got to do.
No, Clark Schmidt, I think we know Clark is in line for 3 and Heel for 4.
See,
but we don't know. I wouldn't. Like, they're putting it out there like that, but like we'll see. We'll see if we win a game in LA. If we don't win two games in LA, like,
or if you see he'll come out of the bullpen in games one or two, then maybe maybe it might be Cole 147. But I think I know as a fan, I'm most confident with Cole on the mound. And if we can get him in 1-4-7, I think that's what we can do. It's not like we got anything to rest for next or in 2 weeks. Leave it.
Sorry, thanks for the call, Zig. We had a ton of calls coming in, and I got to keep it moving. And I hear you, bro, but I'll say this about Cole, and I have to say this about Cole. Cole has not been a dominant force in this October. And yes, in theory, he's an ace. He's a Cy Young winner. It's good to have him because they don't have one of them over there. But, like, I just am not married to the idea that he has to throw three times in this series. I was watching the Media Day coverage, and MLB Network put this stat up, five stats about the Dodgers bullpen. So in the 2024 postseason, 11 games, their record is 5-0, the Dodgers bullpen. Save and save opportunities, they're 3-for-3. ERA is 3.16. They've pitched 57 innings, and opponent's average is 2.37 against them. They have guys like Blake Treinen, who is just nasty. Sinker, slider. Honeywell has been more than serviceable, but has been solid for them, has been a godsend for them. They have guys coming out of that bullpen like Michael Kopech. Mets fans, chime in. Tell us what you saw. 888-808-1019. Chris is in Lake Grove, New York on the fan.
Hey, Keith. How you doing?
Good.
I just heard you talking about Sterling when you came back from the break, Sterling means a lot to me because my grandfather, he was a World War II vet on a Navy destroyer, and because the flares from the guns and, I guess, the sunlight on the Pacific Ocean, he lost his eyesight. So he was the biggest Yankee fan I ever knew, and I'll just say that, like, my Yankee fandom started, like, at a very young age, and it was the only New York team that I originally rooted for. So, like, it means a lot to me that he came back for the postseason, because when he retired at the start of this season, after acquiring Soto and everything, there was the high expectations. And I was like, wow, John's not going to be calling these games in the postseason. And now that he's back, I just think everything's like lining up. And I don't want to take up too much of your time because you said you got a lot of calls, but I just will say this, Yankees in six.
I'm right there with you. And thanks for sharing that with us, Chris. Rest in peace. And, stories like that. And, you know, when John kind of abruptly left, and that's okay. He's earned that right to say, like I said, when I was with him, man, shaking his hand, just seeing how he walked. You know, I asked him to sign some stuff for me. He needed to take a seat. The caster gave him, like, a pat on the back, and he hit him. And he didn't mean to hit him, but it was, like, too forceful, where I'm like, damn, chill, like, don't pat him on the back that hard. Like, this guy's 86 years old, bro. He's like, it gets a lot for him to even get up and come here. Like, you know, use some care with John Sterling. For a lot of you, I know you listened to him, and your grandfather might have listened to him. And, I mean, I remember when I got with John and Susan, I told them, I'm like, you guys are like our Yankee grandparents. We love y'all, man. There's so many moments and times that we can remember listening to you and the way that you call the game. I don't care how many people tried to mock John and Susan over the years or criticize John for getting older and missing calls. Like, that is our brand. That is our thing. And it is done after this World Series. But at least we've gotten to the World Series. Yankees in six. Alex is in New Jersey. Alex, you're on the fan next.
Hey, how you doing, Keith?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
So first off, you know, everybody's giving props to John. I have to absolutely pay my respects to John. He's an absolute legend. He transcends decades. I'm 24 years old. I've been listening to the fan my entire life. I mean, the guy's a legend, right? But yeah. I will also say, you know, moving to the next generation, I think you, for a lot of the guys I talk to anyway, are becoming that guy. I was actually at your first home game that you called this year, and me and a couple buddies stood under the deck right underneath you and screamed your name. We really appreciate you taking the couple seconds to say what's up, and, you know, we love what you're doing, man, and I just really want to give you the props that you deserve, too. obviously John's a legend, but we want to give it to you.
I appreciate it, man. I remember that because that was the hockey jersey day. I remember seeing you guys.
100% hockey jersey day, absolutely.
Thank you.
And real quick, I just wanted to get your opinion as well. What you think, you might have commented earlier about it, but what you think the lineup's going to look like. You know, we've moved Jazz around a little bit. We moved him up against Cleveland. Just what do you think it's going to look like tomorrow? I'm really interested to hear what you have to say about that.
Yeah, I got it. Thanks for the call, Alex. And, you know, a lot of people kind of put me into these categories with I've been on the radio for 3 years. I'm nowhere near, you know, John, and I'm just being myself, and I'm blessed. I call myself blessed Yankee fan because all this happened off of just being blessed and being a Yankee fan. But like, I'm not trying to be a broadcaster. I'm not trying to do John's job, Susan's job. I was blessed that the Yankees, as soon as Susan needed a break for the homecoming dinner, my name came up first as like, hey, let's shake this up. Let's give it a try. Let's see how he sounds. And I had never called a game before. I never called a baseball game before. It was a lot. It was system overload. I told you guys, my brain was exploding. But that was cool, and I do remember seeing you guys. And as far as the lineup goes, how do you not go out there with Gleyber Torres, Juan Soto, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton? How do you not make them face a Jack Flaherty? Here you go, buddy. Throw that fastball in the zone, buddy. Like, how do you not go out there like that? I'm not playing with Jazz in the four hole. Maybe Jazz five. Jazz has to show up. But yeah, my first four has to be those four guys. Torres, Soto, Judge, Stanton. I'm not playing around. And then the bottom of the order obviously has to get going. But like, when we're looking at this matchup and you look at the Dodgers, how they roll out Otani, Betts, Hernandez, Freeman, like, this is arguably the two best lineups that have the toughest first four batters in baseball. Get your popcorn ready, because here comes Popcorn Rob from Babylon.
Hey, Keith, man, first and foremost, yo, thank you for taking my call, and Keith. And so, I'm so, you know, very appreciative as to how this season turned out. I criticized Aaron Judge. I stand to be corrected. He came out and, you know, he showed his worth. You know, and he's been showing his worth. And like I said, but I think that what making my comments was that just trying to put fire under him and realize that everybody's not going to yes sir you. And then I'm going to go with this Brian Cashman. Listen, like I said, Sal, and I spoke to Sal and I told him, Keith, that Brian Cashman has been with the New York Yankees organization since 1986 as an intern. Him and Hal has been growing up together since 1986 when he was an intern and Hal was just kind of like pretty much doing the same thing that he was doing, learning the system. And for people to even think for a minute that Brian Cashman, Cash, man, the man is Cash. And listen, he had everything to do with anything involving that organization, man, since 1986. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying? And so this is the reason why I was like, yo, man, you know, please, guys, chill. Give these guys a break. You know, like, okay, we know that, what was his name, the guy, Gallo. We know that these guys, you know, whatever, the third baseman, I forget his name.
Josh Donaldson.
We know that these guys. Right.
Aaron
we
Hicks, know that, yeah, they didn't work. They didn't work out.
Right. And we know that prior to them, you know, coming to the big stage, because the New York Yankees and the Dodgers and, you know, the Red Sox, and, you know, these guys are big stage. And so you don't know how these guys are going to adjust to some of these smaller, you know, they going up in front of 20,000.
The pinstripes are heavy. The pinstripes are heavy. Thanks for the call, Popcorn Rob. I'll take it from here. The pinstripes are heavy. We don't know who's going to be able to perform in Yankee Stadium under the pressure of being a New York Yankee. But when you find those guys like Juan Soto, you don't let them go anywhere. 888-808-1019. Cashman, I have a ton of respect for. I've been critical of him. because he's made a lot of mistakes. But it seems like we just stack up his mistakes and we don't ever give him credit for the Cashman finds. This entire bullpen, Luke Weaver, Jake Cousins, Tim Hill, Mark Leiter Jr., Clay Holmes. Like you can keep going. And you don't give him credit for making a trade for Juan Soto, right? That the Juan Soto trade goes back to, I was in Seattle when Jeter put that in the air. And then conversation was floating around the All-Star game like, yo, Jeter just put pressure on Cashman to get that done. You know what? Cashman was checking on that. Cashman and Omar Minaya have a relationship with A.J. Preller, the GM of the Padres. So it didn't happen during the deadline in 2023. But you know what? When the winter meetings came around, guess who still was in the front of the line? Brian Cashman. And Hal Steinbrenner comes in, and there were rumors that, you know, Cash didn't want to give up Michael King. Obviously, we understand why. But then Hal Steinbrenner comes in and hears the fans, and he's like, nah, we owe our fans. You can't let Michael King hold up this deal. And they made the deal and got Juan Soto, and here we are. I think Juan Soto stays a Yankee. And I think this World Series will have a lot to do with that, win or lose. I know he's going to perform. I know he's going to show up. I know what he's made of. And I think that, like, Brian Cashman, Hal Steinbrenner, and New York Yankees know that, like, if you keep these guys together, right, and even there's this video floating around of Juan Soto and Gleyber Torres, they are buddies. They are BFFs. It seems like, you know, Gio Urshela has been replaced by Juan Soto. Good. There might be a chance that Gleyber is coming back. And Juan Soto, like, I know everybody wants to say Juan Soto's just going to the highest bidder. You do not know that. I don't know how many nights on the fan I said, I'm not a rich guy. I never had money. But I can't imagine what it's like to have 400, 500 million, 600 million. Once you get up there, that's crazy money, man. You got to be really greedy to be like, I need an extra 50 million. That's money you can't spend. And I know Scott Boras is going to do his thing. And in theory, Scott Boras always takes his clients to free agency and they always take top dollar. Let me remind you that he struck out with his clients. He struck out last offseason with a bunch of these guys. These guys are upset with him. Jordan Montgomery, JD Martinez, Blake Snell was upset with him. Got started late. Like, so he's looking to rebound. And I think he can rebound right here with the Yankees. And that's for another time. It's World Series time. We're going into the World Series today. Juan Soto is a Yankee today. Aaron Judge, Gleyber Torres. You know what? We're not talking enough about guys like Austin Wells playing in his first series, right? His first World Series, his first year in the postseason. He has to come up big. We're not talking enough about guys like Anthony Volpe, a young Anthony Volpe that dreamed about this opportunity. Anthony Volpe is going to come up big. He's going to have a moment where he hits a double, maybe a bases clearing double, or you know, I'm waiting for him to homer, but I realize he's not looking to homer. He's looking to get on, put the ball in play. But his glove is going to be there. He's ready for this moment. We're not talking enough about guys in the bullpen. We're not talking enough about how these guys came off of the week off. They won the DS. They won the CS. Now they're in the flow of things. They had about a week off again here, but I think that they're ready to rock. I think that they're ready to go. And for as many people that wanted to talk about the Yankees having a cakewalk to the World Series, the Dodgers had the cakewalk. The Dodgers faced a team that they faced X amount of times during the regular season. The Dodgers faced a team in the Padres that they're very familiar with. A team that they were able to go 30 scoreless innings, shut them down. The Padres didn't score for 30 innings. And then they faced the Mets, and they set a record. They scored 46 runs in the series. That had never been done before. So we're talking about the Yankees having a cakewalk. The Yankees had to grind it out and fight. When you have to grind it out and fight and you get into another series where you got to grind it out and fight and it's not so easy for you, you're tested and you're ready for the moment. So all that cakewalk talk is dead. The Dodgers had the cakewalk. They faced two wild card teams. They faced a team that they beat during the regular season. They faced a team that barely made it into the postseason, a sixth seed that ran out of gas. 888-808-1019. Let's talk to Robbie and Lennox before we go to the next break.
Keith, good to talk to you. Thanks for taking the call. I'm so excited, obviously. 37-year call to the fans, 60 years old next year, and I'm excited to see the Yanks back in the Fall Classic. Yeah. I agree with you about Cole being good. Cole has to be good, and he hasn't been good in the postseason, so
Right. But, we can't just say he's got to be CC Sabathia. If you remember, CC Sabathia was a freaking dog. So of course you want to let that dog loose. If Cole is only going 4 1/3, 5 innings, and he's giving up runs, I don't know. I'm not signing him up for 3 games.
And I agree with you about Stanton. He needs to bat fourth. And I would bat Rizzo fifth. See, the thing about Riz is he doesn't want to hit home runs. Riz is an experienced guy. He's just going to put the ball in play. So I like to see Riz hitting behind Stanton. Anyway, I got to talk about the Rangers tonight because they're my favorite team. I mean, I'm sick of losing the Florida Panthers. Look, I know it's only the seventh game of the season, but you know what? You can go out and beat Detroit, and you can go out and beat Toronto, mm-hmm. you can go out to Montreal, but don't give me this BS where you're giving up 2 goals. And I'm glad I didn't see the first period. Giving 2 goals up in the beginning of the game.
In your building.
Not playing physical. This was a litmus test, and it's a team that kicked your rear end last year in the postseason. It's ridiculous. And I'm telling you, Chris Drury, do me a favor. Trade Heedle, trade Cockle, trade Keandre Miller, and go get some physical presence and some veteran players so that when you're in the playoffs and you can play Florida, because Florida just eats you up in the neutral zone. So, and as far as the New York Football Giants, let me tell you something, Keith. It's a combination of 3 things. It's ownership. John Mara is lost. Dable never wants to run the football. And Shane, you know, why is Evan Neal sitting on his ass? Why can't he play left tackle? You got a guard. You got a guard sitting playing the other day. And you don't even put a guy on the side to help him, a tight end, to make any kind of adjustments through the game. So I don't think Dable's great. I don't know why people are so high on Dable. And I just think the Giants don't have enough talent, you know, and they got to get rid of Daniel Jones. Look, you can even play quarterback. Rosie play quarterback. Anybody on the Fandy, let Summers come and play quarterback. That's why the schmoes are playing quarterback.
All right, Robbie. I'll speak on that, though. Man, there is a Saquon Barkley mic'd up that the Eagles released on YouTube and Twitter. If you're a Giants fan, during this break, go cue that up. It's like 10 minutes. Go cue up the mic'd up of Saquon Barkley in MetLife Stadium going against his former team. And just hear some of the conversations that were being had, him versus Giants players, him with his own teammates. I'm watching it like this should have never happened. And the Giants right now, they are in a state of just like so many mistakes. So many things that could have been avoided, but they're just going to see it through with no guarantee or promise that seeing it through is going to fix it. And the longer they wait on Daniel Jones, it's just dumb. It's just like, I don't know. Anyway, and the Rangers, whatever, it's early in the season, but yeah, you know, that wound is still fresh with the Panthers. And they come into your building and do that to you. It's like, it doesn't make you feel great. It doesn't make you feel optimistic about what's to come. But Yankee fans, you should be optimistic about what's to come. I mean, we're talking about everything. Lineup, we're talking about everything. Who's going to pitch? I'll talk more about the Dodgers and what I see from them. But yeah, again, as I'm going through things, and they had this thing, Path to the Pennant, on MLB Network today. And I'm like, everybody's saying that the Yankees had the cakewalk facing a first-place team, right? Both teams had good pitching. Seth Lugo, Cole Reagans, Michael Wacha, and then the bullpen with the Guardians. The Yankees had the cakewalk. No. The Dodgers had the cakewalk. The Padres couldn't score. And then the Mets, they were beating them 9-0, 8-0. What are we talking about? Whatever you want to talk about. Call me up. 888-808-1019. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Oh, yeah. War ready. Ready for battle. Let the games begin. The 2024 World Series, live from Dodger Stadium, Los Angeles, California. Here we come. Keith McPherson on the Fan, taking you till 2 a.m. And, you know, I was, before the break, talking about how with the Dodgers, they played a lot of blowout games, shutout games. They had a lot of scoreless innings. And I gave you the stats about their bullpen, and you can tip your cap to their bullpen, but you also can attribute that to guys folding, guys cooling off, guys not showing up. And I'm not going to pick on the Mets, guys like Lindor, guys like Francisco Alvarez, guys not being able to come through the way that they did prior to, whether it was Nimmo or JD Martinez or whoever. Because the same thing happened with the Padres. The Padres had one big inning where they scored 6 runs in the last game that they won of that series, right? Because they went up in that series 2-1. and everybody was talking about firing Dave Roberts, right? Remember the shenanigans that were going on in Dodger Stadium with the fans throwing stuff on the field, and Fernando Tatis was gyrating, and Jurickson Profar robbed the home run and kind of deked the fans, whatever. That was, it was all good until it wasn't. Because after that inning, that second inning where they scored six runs, the Padres did not score again. 888-808-1019. The Yankees are hitting. And this postseason, the Yankees aren't just hitting. They are hitting with their back against the wall, down to their last out, last strike. Gotta have it at the end of the bullpen, facing the best of the best of the best. So you mean to tell me that's not going to carry over against the Dodgers bullpen, against the Dodgers starters? They're going to fold. They're going to go cold like they did in 2022. They're going to go cold like they did in 2019, 2017. Juan Soto is going to disappear. No, Gleyber Torres, let me start with you. Gleyber Torres is going to disappear from the leadoff spot the way he's been hitting in the leadoff spot, better than we've ever seen him. Working counts, working walks, getting knocks, him and Soto as a tandem, getting on. Judge has no pressure at this point. This is the least pressure Judge has ever had because he did it. He's on the World Series team that ended the drought. He's back in California now. I am literally praying that Judge just turns back into being Judge, the best player in the game, as he's given Ohtani his nod as, you know, he's the best player in the game. Yeah, he's the best player in the game. I'm like, Judge, you're the best player in the game. Show it. Show it. It's MVP versus MVP. Show the people. And Stanton, another former MVP, going back home, I don't think they're going to give him a pitch to hit. I think they're going to pitch to Judge. I think they might pitch to Juan Soto. I just think Stanton, being back in Cali, I don't know if they give him, they're going to try and pitch to him. I don't think they're going to intentionally walk him. But I don't see them being dumb like the Guardians, throwing fastballs at him, thinking they can get the fastball by him. He's so dialed in. And what I'm saying is the Dodgers had a game where they beat the Padres 8-0. And then a week later, they beat the Mets 8-0. I don't see the Yankees getting blanked 8-0. I don't see it. I don't see it. I see these being hard-fought battles. They're going to be gut-wrenching. You are going to be biting your nails. You are going to be pacing around. You are going to just be like head in hand, not knowing what to do, not wanting to look, just being afraid. And then it's going to happen or it doesn't. And it's going to be everything you ever hoped for or a nightmare. It's going to be devastation or elation. Good. I'm down for it either way. Robert is in New Rochelle. Robert, you're on the fan.
Long-time listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to ask you about what do you expect Nestor Cortes to be? Do you expect him to be the starter still, or do you expect him to be the long reliever?
I don't even know if he's going to be long relief. I think he could, you know, piggyback, be long relief, but, like, we don't have many lefties. We have Tim Hill. So having a lefty out of the bullpen to deploy in certain matchups against these guys is going to be crucial. I think he's just going to be a weapon. I think he's just going to be a guy like, I can't wait to see him face Ohtani. I forget where I had Ohtani's numbers against him. I can't wait to see him just, you know, do his little wind up, his leg kick, his, you know, his quick pitch. They haven't seen Nestor, and I know he's going to be ready to compete. I think Nestor could be a left-handed weapon out of the bullpen. We don't want him to be a long man, right? We want Heel to go 4 or 5 innings.
Yeah.
Schmidt to go 4 or 5 innings. But later in the game, where it's a big moment in the game, let's say the Yankees have a 1-run, 2-run lead, and here comes the top of the order with Ohtani, maybe you have Nestor come in to face him.
Yeah, I agree. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Robert. 888-808-1019. Yeah, I look at Nestor as like, yo, like Nestor is, he said it when he came back and he piggybacked Clark Schmidt in the north side of Chicago in Wrigley. You know, he's kind of mad about it. And he said, you know, like, I took the ball on opening day for this team when Gerrit Cole got hurt. I pitched the most innings for this team. Why me? But his mentality is right. That's why. Because they knew they could do that to him. They knew they could take him out of the starting rotation. And he would do what it would take for the team. He wants to be a part of this. He's putting his literal elbow on the line. And Tim Hill has been great. But we can't count on Tim Hill to be rubber band man. We can't. We can't count on Tim Hill to have a rubber arm for the entire World Series like he did against the Guardians. 888-808-1019. I expect them to deploy Nestor Cortez and have him come out of the bullpen. And like, Nestor's a guy that, like, he won't just be facing three batters. He won't just get an inning. If he's rolling, you let him go. And I'm telling you, he's going to relish this opportunity in the moment. I think a couple nights ago I said the fact that, like, he made his one All-Star game in L.A. And I got to link with him. And I got to meet his girl. And when the All-Star game's ending or over, he found a spot in L.A. and proposed to his girl. So, like, you know, like, that's a special place for this guy. This guy's going back to the place that he, you know, put a ring on it. And now he's trying to put a ring on it again. Bars! Jonathan is out in Los Angeles. Jonathan, you're back on The Fan in New York.
My guy, Keith, we made it, bro. We made it. I mean, this year, bro, I mean, I remember me taking my son to Houston, to all these stadiums, and now we made it to the World Series, and it's crazy that the World Series ended up here in L.A. This is Dodger Stadium. And let me tell you something, Keith. I'm going to need your help, bro. You got a man down right here, bro. I've been surrounded by nothing but Dodger fans, with news, with all sorts of Dodgers this, Dodger that, Dodger radio station, Dodgers at 5, Dodgers at 6. Dodgers at 6 seems pretty common, I guess, here, man. I mean, yesterday when you got back on the radio, bro, I was like, thank goodness my guy Keith is back. Because other radio other shows, bro, they just either talk about the Mets or they found negative stuff to talk about the Yankees.
We're talking guy, about you, stuff Keith? That's got nothing to do. We got the World Series. They're doing everything exactly. But the Yankee talk.
Facts. You, bro, and C-Mac are the best, bro. I stay up to 2 in the morning and I got work at 6. But you and C-Mac get hell of a shows, bro. Yeah. But I'm just, all this week, bro, has been anxiety and nervous, bro. Right now, when I hang up the phone, bro, I just need you to do me a favor, bro. Tomorrow, I'm taking my family to World Series Game 1, and I swear to God, I'm going to tag you, bro, when I get there so you can check it out, bro. I'm down, bro. I'm nervous. I need to know why, bro. Give me back my hope, bro, because as soon as we clinched that AL, I was feeling like, man, no one's going to stop us. Bring whoever you guys want. I don't care. But as soon as the Dodgers clinched, it was just, oh, I seen all these predictors saying, I got the Dodgers in 6. Their offense lineup, this and that. They're pitching, the bullpen depth is pretty good. I'm just tired of all these, everyone saying Dodgers in 6. Oh, especially one more thing, too. I mean, rest in peace to Fernando Valenzuela. Rest in peace to him. But everyone is saying now, because, you know, he passed away, unfortunately. Now they say, oh, for sure, Dodgers are going to win it. That's a lock. Everything pointing down. They got Ohtani. My guy Keith, I need your help, brother. I'm going to go to the game tomorrow. I need you to – I just bought me a coffee, bro. I need you to pump me up, bro, and get me – oh, bro, I want to go jacked up tomorrow, bro. Yeah. Pause to the game, bro. Please, bro. And,
I got you.
You know what? Yankees and 6, go Yankees, everybody. Let's go. I was going to say something, but let's go, bro. I got you, Keith.
Appreciate it, Jonathan. 888-808-1019. When I went out there in 2019 for Players Weekend, I was actually surprised how many Yankee fans were out there that didn't have to get on a plane. But there's a ton of Yankee fans getting on the plane. The Yankees flew all their people out there. When I was texting C-Mac, I was telling them they're not doing a watch party in Yankee Stadium. They flew out everybody that works for the Yankees for the World Series. They're all going to be in L.A. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, coming back Sunday. They're not trying to host who would be in Yankee Stadium to host the watch party game 1 and 2? All the employees of the New York Yankees are out there California dreaming. And there are a ton of Yankee fans out there that fight the good fight. I'll never forget the guy with that big ass glove in the right field pavilion. He didn't sit. Let's go Yankees. Let's go Dodgers. Let's go Yankees. And slowly we drowned the Dodgers fans out in their own place. RIP to Fernando Mania, Fernando Valenzuela. That energy can be channeled and can be used for good. It also can play against you. Because those fans are going to be emotional. They're going to do a tribute for him. There is going to be tears in people's eyes. I understand the fan base and the culture out there. And if the Dodgers don't respond right away, and the Yankees do, that can be flipped. The Yankees are road warriors. The Yankees play well on the road. They have a lot of California-born and raised guys. They have guys that were just there 2 years ago at the All-Star game. Just last year when Judge ran into the wall, like I said, the Yankees went out there and beat them. I remember coming back from paternity leave, and people were talking about, oh, the Yankees just beat the Dodgers. They're number one in the power rankings. And I told Judge, don't do that. Judge is hurt. But Judge is healthy. Judge has no pressure on him right now. And yeah, of course, they're going to glaze Ohtani. MLB would love for Ohtani to win the World Series. This ain't the World Baseball Classic, though. He's not pitching. He's definitely not pitching. Dave Roberts said he's not pitching. And also, why would he pitch? They have a $700 million contract for this man to live out over the next 10 years. Why would they risk it? He's not going to pitch. So let's see what Jack Flaherty has. Let's see what Mama Yodo has. Yamamoto, I cannot wait. I cannot wait till he has to face this lineup. I cannot wait till he has to face these guys. It's not going to be a cakewalk. It's not going to be as easy. I don't know if he's going 5-6 innings against the big boys from the New York Yankees. And let's see how their guys show up. Let's see if Mookie Betts doesn't disappear. I've seen Mookie Betts disappear. How do you think the Diamondbacks got there last year? Freddie Freeman. Pain and injuries make a coward out of all of us. Let's see how he plays, being slightly compromised. Teoscar Hernandez has been able to seize every moment. He loves the bright lights. These are the brightest lights. Let's see if he's like that. Max Muncy, that streak is over. Max Muncy, I've seen be dog water. I've also seen him be great. Let's see. This is mano y mano. Competition brings out the best of the best. This is the World Series. Let's see if their bullpen is really like that. Let's see if our bullpen is like that. Clay Holmes, I need you, bro. You were an all-star out there. I need you to be a weapon again. Short memory. Don't worry about what happened in Cleveland. Go back to the beginning of this postseason when you were coming in the fifth, sixth inning, whenever it was, and being a weapon. We need Clay Holmes. The Yankee universe will be out there. The Yankees will be ready to go. And I think the Yankees take at least one out of two of these games. Of course, they're going to tell you Dodgers in six. They think they're coming here to New York and treating the Yankees like they treated the Mets. No, sir. No, sir. It's going to be a little colder. It's going to be a little bit colder when they get to Yankee Stadium. And I'm hoping these ticket prices fall so we can get the real in the building. So they can actually step into the Bronx Zoo a little bit. Not the corporate Richie Rich type. Like I'm talking about the Bleacher Creatures, the Terror Squad. The maniacs that come into that asylum and just bang on the walls and throw beer and popcorn and go insane in that place. Make that place shake. It's not going to be like it was with Pantone 294 in there in June where the Yankees sold them all of these tickets. A little birdie told me, not this time. Not this time. We're not selling thousands of tickets to Dodgers fans for the World Series that we've been waiting to host. The second one in this building we've been waiting for 15 years. It's different now. And I really think that the Yankees are more desperate than the Dodgers. The Dodgers have been to multiple World Series. What, four out of the last eight? I think these Yankees are more desperate. These Yankees are more dogs, right? I saw something about bullpen dogs. There's like a shirt. I think RotoWear put out a shirt. I guess they call their bullpen dogs. No. Now you're about to actually meet the dogs. Now you're about to meet the guys that bark and bite. And I feel like the Yankees are more desperate for this one. It is more do or die for them. The Yankees know that this team will not be together next year. Rizzo, Verdugo, Clay Holmes, Soto, Glaber. It's up in the air whether these guys are going to be back. I feel like they flew out there to get it done. And all I need is one out there. All I need is one out there and then two at home and then go back and take it. Yankees in six. Let's go Yanks for real. Limo driver Ed, PA.
What's going on, my brother? Hey, I'm very happy for you. Just want to say that for you and your Yankees. You know, Yanks. My Miracle Met, we got to where we was at. You know, I wasn't supposed to be there. I just think that, you know, we got into too much of swinging wild pitches and pitches that wasn't in the strike zone. You know, it just and then he, once you get down like that and trying to come back all the time, it's not going to happen. But I don't want them signing Soto. I want them to take all that kind of money and go get some release pitchers and pitches. And
yeah.
Maybe another bat. You know what I'm saying? We don't need him. Now, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with him. I don't even, like you said, don't even want to talk about it. But, you know, like, man, you know, just next year we got to regroup. First thing first, we got to see what Alfonso and, you know, what that deal is going to be once he's out there testing the market. So, but listen, I am very happy for Yankees. You know, it's a good thing, man. Hey, it's a New York team. I don't care. It's a New York team. So, you know, even though it ain't the Mets, but I'm still going to root on the Yankees. But I sure damn don't like the Dodgers. And then, you got Magic Johnson sitting up there, you know? So, but that's all I wanted to say, my brother. I'm down here, and I just left out of Philly, so I'm heading home. I just wanted to give you a yell.
Thanks for the call, Ed. Appreciate you always. Yeah, I say that Mets fans should be rooting for Yankees fans so you can say that you swept the champs. You went 4-2 against the Dodgers in the postseason and the regular season. I'd be rooting for a parade to come through the city. A second one. Don't want to disrespect the Liberty. I'd be rooting to say, hey, well, the year that we swept the Yankees, wearing Grimace costumes, listening to Candelita, they won the World Series. I don't know. I'm not a Mets fan. I don't know if that would make you feel better. 888-808-1019. It's not about the Mets. The more things change, the more things stay the same. Everybody in the city, I'm watching the Liberty Parade. Everybody's saying the Yankees next. Liberty got it done. Yankees next. Kathy Hochul, we're doing this, and the boys got to get it done next. Yeah. Yeah, they can. They absolutely can. They absolutely can. 888-808-1019. I got 1 hour to go. Call me up with your takes, your thoughts, your questions. Talking all around the World Series, different players, different angles. I'm just going to keep feeding you guys different information. I got the list of the umpires that are going to call this game. I've got some different numbers and some things. And I just think this is Star Wars. It's Battle of the Stars. And the stars got to shine brightest. One more thing I'll add before we go to break here. The Dodgers' ability to score with runners in scoring position, getting runners on and driving them in, it's incredible. The Yankees are quite the opposite of that. The Yankees strand runners. You down with LOB? Yeah, you know me. Left on base. Can't happen if you think you're going to beat the Dodgers in the World Series. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 1 hour to go. Yankee fans, call me up. KM to 2 a.m. returns right after this.